KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting Michelle Indeggio-Cello, an American singer, songwriter, poet, and bassist, on May 6th at UC San Diego's Epstein Family Amphitheater. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Friday, May 1st. A USD law clinic is working to fill the need for more immigration lawyers. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. Escondido city leaders are moving forward with a proposal that would allow Escondido's police and fire departments to use drones to identify those illegally setting off fireworks. The proposal would also increase a $100 fine to $1,000 or more. In 2 weeks, the full city council will vote on the proposal. NBC7 says a group called Escondido Fights Illegal Fireworks has been asking the city to enact stricter firework laws for some time now. The group says that illegal firework usage has become an issue for many in their community. The County Board of Supervisors on Tuesday will vote on a proposal to boost the region's art and culture scene. This is in reaction to San Diego's mayor proposing a $12 million cut in arts funding in the city's budget next year. The proposed county initiative looks to invest $2.75 million in the first year. The funds would go towards an artist grant program, artist in residence program, investments in arts and culture districts, and more. CHP issued more than 1,000 citations during its 24-hour enforcement period earlier this week. The operation began at 6 a.m. on Tuesday and ended on Wednesday at 6 a.m. CHP says that during that time frame, officers issued a total of 1,023 citations in the county. A majority of the citations were issued for speeding, including 17 for driving more than 100 miles an hour. There were also 17 arrests related to driving under the influence of drugs or alcohol. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by ACLU of San Diego and Imperial Counties. The work of the ACLU is about closing the gap between the America that was promised and the America that is. Learn more at www.aclu-sdic.org.
As the Trump administration's mass deportation campaign rolls on, the need for immigration lawyers has never been higher. Reporter Gustavo Solis says a University of San Diego law clinic is working to meet that need.
We submitted that to the court, I think, last week or the week before.
And it was successful.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, she did a
great job. I did not know that, so that's exciting.
That is USD law student Amber Rahim talking about a real-life case that she and her classmates have been working on. They're representing a Russian asylum seeker and just helped him get released from the Otay Mesa Detention Center.
I came into law school wanting to do immigration. My parents are immigrants. I have a family that immigrated here to the United States. So growing up, I always just kind of watched their journey of coming here. I went to my dad's citizenship ceremony.
The work is part of the USD Immigration Law Clinic, which gives students real-world experience.
Just getting to learn about it as I work on real-life cases is just so incredible.
Tammy Lin runs the clinic. She has decades of experience as an immigration lawyer.
Students wanted to do asylum cases. They wanted to be in court. They wanted to go to detention.
Students at the clinic help people become naturalized citizens, get green cards, apply for humanitarian visa programs, and fight deportation cases. Lin says the clinic has become more and more popular, and that's largely driven by the Trump administration's mass deportation campaign.
And they're looking at immigration practitioners as really much the front line of protection of constitutional rights.
When Lin was in school, the stereotype was that immigration lawyers were more administrators than litigators, filling out forms like visa applications. But now, students see themselves on the front lines of a historic battle against mass deportations.
To them, I think it is the most tangible type of law you could do where you are impacting someone directly.
That is certainly the case for Logan Quesenberry, who started out wanting to be a public defender.
I felt this semester more so than ever the resolve to continue helping people in our community. That's That's what we're here to do. That's what the clinics are here for. We help people.
Quessenberry grew up in San Diego, and he sees the local impact of immigration enforcement every time he visits the Otay Mesa Detention Center.
You know, so many of these people who are in detention are people who, if you walk down the street, you're like, oh, yeah, that's just another San Diegan. And we have such a vibrant community, not just from Latin America, but from all over the world, that I just had no clue about until I came and worked in the clinic.
Data shows more than 70% of people detained at Otay Mesa do not have a criminal record. And the number of people in immigration detention across the country has nearly doubled since Trump took office. Lynn says all this means that there just aren't enough immigration lawyers to meet the demand. Federal data show that more than half of the people with pending cases in immigration court do not have legal representation.
I think that the market for them right now is very bright and that there's just so much need and there is just not enough attorneys. And so there'll be funding for some of the nonprofits to hire attorneys, but those job listings have been up there for quite a while.
By training the next generation, Lynn hopes those jobs get filled. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
Chula Vista is changing its rules for police buying military equipment without approval from the city council. Reporter Corey Suzuki says activists worry the new policy isn't clear about what they can do.
Like many police departments, the Chula Vista Police Department uses a stockpile of military equipment, including drones and assault rifles. Most of the time, getting that equipment requires approval from the city council. But the city's policy did say the department could replace anything the council had already authorized. This year, though, the city council voted to change those rules. The council passed the new policy unanimously last week with little discussion. Here's city council member Michael Insunza speaking at that meeting.
Appreciate the information and the thorough presentation. I would like to make a motion to approve.
The new policy still says police can only buy equipment that the council has already approved, and it says those purchases now have to go through the city manager. But the new policy also adds language about, quote, rare and exigent circumstances, including riots or prolonged critical incidents. Local activists say the language isn't clear enough. In a letter to the city council, activist Margaret Baker said police could argue that any situation qualifies as exigent. Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
For months, Hacumba Hot Springs residents say they've been complaining about construction dust from a nearby solar energy project, but they say little has changed. Reporter Elaine Alfaro says now community leaders want the county to intervene.
Steph Tonkin moved to Hacumba about 2 years ago and got plugged in through the local community center. But now she's inside most days.
Now we're having to keep our doors closed and our windows closed because the construction going on next door in the field is so bad.
Dust is coming from grading for a 600-acre solar farm. Tonkin says it's made her chronic obstructive pulmonary disease worse. She's been hospitalized 4 times since January.
In March when I went into the hospital, they put me on oxygen because it was, I know, it's just so, it's so bad and so hard to breathe.
She's one of several residents who say the dust produced from the project has impacted their health. That led the Hacumba Community Sponsor Group to ask the county for an audit and unannounced inspections of the construction site. A spokesperson for the developer, Bewa RE Americas, told KPBS in an email, quote, "This is a large project in a dry, exposed location, and dust is a real challenge. We run up to 5 water trucks on site at once, follow an approved dust control plan, and pause grading when wind conditions are too high." Elaine Alfaro, KPBS News.
A new map shows the route of a controversial high-voltage transmission line SDG&E wants to build. Environment reporter Tammy Merga says opposition is growing.
The Golden Pacific Power Link would run from Imperial Valley through Anza Borrego State Park to the coast near the San Diego-Orange County border. Erica Martin is with a utility. She says the 145-mile line would
help California meet its energy policy goals and facilitate the clean energy transition.
SDG&E says ratepayers would be on the hook for 9% of the project costs. Martin says it's too early to say what those costs will be. Bree Fordham is with the Anza Borrego Foundation. She worries about potential impacts to California's most biodiverse state park.
Are we all willing to pay a higher price for energy while taking away from the places that we love to recreate.
SDG&E says it will weigh public concerns before submitting the route for state approval later this year. Tammy Murga, KPBS News.
As we do for you each and every Friday, here are some weekend event ideas happening across the county for you and yours. On Friday and Sunday, may the force be with you as you make your way over to the Rady Shell. That's because the San Diego Symphony Orchestra is performing their rendition of the Oscar-winning score from Star Wars: A New Hope. Then on Saturday, you can join the Walk for Animals at NTC Park in Liberty Station. Their event website says that every dollar raised helps the San Diego Humane Society support and care for pets and wildlife. All registered participants will receive a Walk for Animals t-shirt at the event. And as an early celebration for Cinco de Mayo, the Gaslamp Quarter Association is presenting the Taco Taste on Sunday. During the event, guests can stroll through the gas lamps, sampling tacos, margaritas, and more. Information for these events and more can be found on kpbs.org/events. That's it for the podcast today. This podcast is edited by Brooke Ruth and hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center, geopolitics, polarization, budget concerns, all topics that can cause tension in the workplace. NCRC can help seasoned and emerging leaders navigate polarizing issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.